Now, in the studio, I've got John Lawson. Morning, John.
Kia ora, good morning.
Before John came in, I had Mark came into the studio and wanted to chat about bikes. He'd been biking around on his e-bike and got he saw my one, and he got knocked off. No, he didn't get knocked off. What am I saying? That's wildly wrong.
Close to being knocked off.
He felt like he was going to be knocked off. I was like just going for pure drama there, John. I was factually incorrect.
Yeah. Gets more listeners that way.
Yeah, well, yeah, and...
We'll put some off.
more trouble. Anyway, he thought it was troubling enough, feeling squeezed, especially along the main road. And I know Norrie Ave's not a good place for bikes, even though the kids have to go down there. And he was like, wondering, can
the
we have
a... cycle down the footpath.
Well, I mean, if my kids were cycling to school, I'd say get on the footpath. Do not cycle down Norrie Ave. It's just, there's not enough.
A few weeks ago, I tried walking down there at school time and decided it was safer to walk on the edge of the road.
Well, this is a generally don't go down there during, you know, coming leading into school or leaving school, especially leaving school because they usually get it. Actually, no, they don't all get let out at once anymore. But anyway, yeah, just avoid Norrie Ave around 3 o'clock. So his question was, can we have an awareness campaign for people to be safer when they're going past a cyclist? I sort of felt like, part of our issue is like Norrie Ave especially, it's on a ridge. If they were to make that road wider, they'd have to cut the top off the ridge and bring everything down so they get some extra width. The main road is somewhat similar as well. But having said that, on this side of town, there are no proper bike routes. There's no proper bike route, is there, John?
Well, there's no proper bike route anywhere in the whole of Waikato District.
Well, what about the bit, once you go to the bridge down here and head out to the beach?
Well, they've spent $1 million on putting some concrete there, but they've still not called it a cycleway.
It's a shared one, isn't it? Because you can walk as well. It's better, though.
Well, the only indication it's a cycleway are that there's some sign saying cyclist dismount.
At the bridge?
And also near Wainui Reserve as well, yeah.
Okay, but
along
but
the whole of that track.
So, someone was at a community board meeting like a year ago, and they said, "Can we do something about the danger to cyclists along Wainui Road leading to the bridge?"
Because this morning the policy committee of the council's meeting, and they're looking at rules on roads, and it includes cycleways, and it includes a table for cycleways, and it's got a note above it saying intentionally blank.
Intentionally blank. That's my motto this summer. What I was going to say was that the community board meeting, someone brought the issue up of Wainui Road, and the response from staff now is like, officially they're going to say, if you want to cycle across to Raglan West, you go across the bridge and use the path there. That is much safer than trying to cycle on the road down Wainui Road, which I wouldn't do. I would cycle on the footpath down that part as well.
Yeah, because you look at the crash map and almost all our main roads, Wallace Street, the Wainui Road and all the others have got accidents with bikes along them.
Oh, have they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then one of the few that hasn't is Cliff Street, but they've made that one way and it doesn't have an exemption for cycles going the other way, except that lots of cyclists ignore it. Well, lots of motorists ignore it as well.
Well, maybe you can. I told him about the community board meeting, so Mark's going to come along to that.
We've also got a group of cyclists who are getting together on Saturday morning, weather permitting, at 10 o'clock up at Greenslade Road, just where it meets up with the possible cycleway there, which again doesn't have any sign saying it's a cycleway. But
so that's the access between the end of Greenslade Road and back into Laurentian Bay Road?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're going to take back the roads, eh, John?
I think the theory is to have an enjoyable amble round, have a chat together, maybe have a look at what could be done, and maybe put some ideas to, maybe have a meeting or something, get some ideas together, see what people think.
E-bikes are welcome?
I'm going to take my e-bike, it's a lot easier. So, yeah. But e-bikes or any old bike, unicycle if you want.
I must admit, I think the proliferation of e-bikes has changed this for Raglan because it's so hilly. I think a lot of people just didn't bike, so suddenly with e-bikes that really does change that, so there's a lot more cycling going around at the moment. Ultimately someone's going to have to spend some money to make some cycle lanes, aren't they, John? Like, that's really, I mean, we're talking money all the time, aren't we?
It could be just paint or a few plant pots or something like that, because in many places they've done some very cheap cycleways just by doing things like that. because the original ones that we created in London, we just moved some plant plots around to create a safe route for cycles to go through.
How many plant plots did? What was that? Did you ask the council?
No, council debated whether to remove what we'd done, and we went along and lobbied them, and they agreed to keep them, and then they agreed to put in lots more cycleways. So
interesting.
That was a good news story.
That
was the start of cycleways in London.
That's an ask for forgiveness rather than permission story, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what you do with the main road, especially where they've put those crossings. And like, lots of people are concerned about the safety of the kids getting across the main road when they're walking home from school. Fair enough. But what happened was they made these little bits where the idea is these little lumps of concrete that push out into the road. So there's less dangerous width. It narrows the width so that the kids are walking from one safe space to another quite quickly. But those same lumps of concrete are devastating for cyclists. You either have to go out into the car lane or up into the footpath, and I definitely elect for the footpath. And there's other parts of the main road there that there's just not enough width. You just do not feel safe. So we're a long way from having a cycle friendly community.
Because they do surveys from time to time at a national level, and about 2/3 of people don't cycle because they think it's unsafe.
I saw these videos promoting cycling in London, probably from around when you and your mates were doing your activism, showing people cycling, and that just looks hair-raising. Like, it looked really frightening, this guy in a 10-speed and vehicles all around him, and he's going fast and the cars are going fast, and it just, maybe in the 80s that looked okay, but...
It's always felt dangerous going around things like Shepherd's Bush roundabout or through the Hyde Park underpass.
But did it anyway.
I suppose it was an adrenaline rush.
Yeah, no need to go up a mountain or climb a cliff or anything. So John's this thing at Saturday, Greenshade Road, what time, 10 o'clock?
Yep.
And the community board meeting Wednesday, 1:30 as well. I know that Mark's tomorrow. Keen to come along tomorrow, yep.
Unless you're listening tomorrow, which in case it's up, the answer is up.
Oh, yeah. If you're listening at 7:20 in the morning, then it's today. Yeah. All right. So other things that John's got his list together about the community board things. Or did we want to... No, we'll just go straight to that, I think. So Waikato Regional Council Aquaculture Strategy. So the chair of the Regional Council, Pamela Storey, is coming.
Is she?
Yes. Okay. And that, because I talked to Dennis Amor, the chair of the board, on Friday, and that's what he said. She's going to talk about the aquaculture strategy, because there's an application in at the moment, somehow or other,
to do spat catching.
Yeah. And Angela in Greensill's not very pleased with it. I've talked about that with her in the past. Possibly primarily because she'd rather see a local company than an out-of-town company making profits.
Well,
from
that
the harbour
makes sense to some extent, and also a local company is not likely to grow to the extent that an international
and exploit
consortium might. So,
yeah, yes, it says that. But also, Pamela Storey is going to talk about two things, I think. Can't remember what the other one was.
And she's also talking about bus fares, because the regional council's consulting about whether they should charge rates for bus fares on a sort of local basis. So if you live within a few kilometres of a bus route, you pay more rates than if you don't.
It's possible, John. It's possible.
Because that's
don't
on
remember.
The agenda as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Buses, the government is cutting funding for buses, are they?
Yes.
Right. So, yet? Or is she going to come back in a few months' time and say, we're having to review them again?
Well, one of the weird things is that they put bus fares up by 20% and they found more people using buses. they predicted it was going to be a 4% cut. But in fact, I think we've got 13% more on the Raglan bus, and some bus routes have got even more than that.
They should do it again. If that's how it works, keep putting it up, get everyone on the buses. I know that makes no sense, but...
Maybe we've got so used to things going up in price that people thought, oh, well, it's just the same as everything else.
It just probably acted as a reminder that there's a bus service.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
There was certainly lots of advertising for it saying the fares are going to change, so maybe, as you say, that acted as a reminder that we do have a bus. Last time I looked at the bus timetables, though, they were still a September timetables that didn't take into account the we now have three buses at the weekends instead of two.
Mm. And also take into account the one, the buses going out to Manu Bay?
No, it's still the old timetable. So,
so not that either.
I did remind them a few weeks ago, but as last time I looked, they'd not replaced them.
Mm. Maybe you should just do it yourself.
I'm not as good at designing them as they are. But, and you also need some sort of key to get into those covers that they've got on them.
Just write it on the the Perspex cover. It'll be fine. Okay, so that's the first thing. They have the open forum at 1:30, then at 2 probably. The meeting will start and they'll do the usual preliminary rubbish and then they'll, I shouldn't say rubbish, stuff. And then probably Pamela Story will talk. And she might talk for a while because last time she came to a community board meeting, she did talk for a long time.
Yep, and she's good at talking. I suppose that's what qualifies you as a chair of an organisation.
Not necessarily. But anyway.
She's also an electrical engineer, so... I first came across her.
She should be concise.
Designed a gas turbine to use the methane that was coming out of one of the landfills in, was it Horichu, somewhere up there?
Okay. Yeah. Did they use it?
Oh, they did for a while. I don't know what's happened to it since.
Okay, so other things on the list of things that may be on the community board's discussion. Wainui Bush Park, further signage installation for the Bush Park cycle access track has been confirmed. So tell us about the cycle access. Is that through the pines, or are you talking about something else?
No, it's just going through. Well, it's getting to the pines. So the pines is where the cycle track is that Dirk wants to get to.
Okay.
But he wants an alternative route to get there. And the proposal was to put it along various tracks in Wainui Reserve. I'm not sure which one has been agreed on, because I talked to the chair of Wainui Reserve and he didn't seem to know anything about the signs being done.
Wainui Reserve has a chair?
the Bush Park has, not the...
This is Friends of Wainui Reserve?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. You're not the chair, John, or you'd be the secretary?
No, I've passed that job on there.
So. Oh, well done.
I'm glad you're getting rid of jobs. I'm no longer on the radio committee.
Yeah, we got a good crew now. Got a good,
you thought
good,
it was going
numbers.
To collapse, but it survived without me. Well done.
Did I give that impression, did I? it's doing great. We've got 10 people on the committee at the moment, so that's plenty. That brings up the question, like we were talking about that path. There is a cycleway, or you can use it as a cycleway. As you say, it's not clearly signposted from the bridge out to Wainui Reserve. And then I guess, where does the path go? Does it keep going? I forget now. When you get to the car park, into the bush park area, where does the cycles go? Do they go into the bush there?
Well, that's what I say. I'm not sure which route they're taking because they did look at a few routes. And I don't know which one they finally decided they were going to put signs on. Because it's not the most direct way of getting to the pine forest. So it puzzles me that they don't just use the same route as the paragliders who go up past the farm, up the farm track, up to the top and do their paragliding from up there.
It's a mystery, this reserve. There's lots of different things.
And we've still not had a meeting of the Wainui Reserve. What do I call it? Forgotten what the committee is called, but when they abolish the committee,
oh,
they met every month
the,
or
no,
two.
No, it's the Coastal Reserve Stakeholder
that's it, yes.
thing. Yes. Yeah, it's been a
while.
Because
that was due, I think, in September, and here we are in December, and no meeting.
Is it due? Is it? It's not that. It's not compulsory. They don't have to do it, do they?
Well, they did say they were going to have it every year.
Well, I know, but
at least every year.
They're not legally mandated to do it.
No, it's not like the overdue stormwater meeting, which
which is mandated, but they're late anyway. Yeah,
they're breaking their resource consent by not having it. Yeah,
yeah. At least they could be told off. Okay, so, but that's about signs. We don't know. We're just going to, hopefully someone's going to talk about it and we'll learn more. Is that what we're saying here, John?
Right. It says in the agenda that they're going to be installed this month, so we'll see where they go.
Oh, that's how it's going to work. Okay.
And see how many people start using it, because there's not that many people cycle along there anyway. So whether any more people will cycle along it once it's got signs there, I don't know.
If people know it's there. I was worried about the fact there might be hoons on bikes going through where people walk around the nice trees.
Yeah, well, that's what concerns me, and that's why I'd prefer it to go up the farm track, because they'll only meet vehicles rather than meet people.
Yeah, and not very often.
Yeah.
Okay, we're near a south end walkway, so...
They've done the bit at the north end, that wide strip of concrete which narrows to... and that's where one of the cyclist dismount signs is, so, yeah.
Yeah. So what are we saying?
This is the bit at the other end that they're now looking at, which is falling apart even more than the bit that they've done.
Yeah, they didn't have enough money to fix that one in the previous budget, but they seem to be doing it now.
So the weird thing is that they've put in two sets of maps in the community board agenda, but no description. So I'm not too sure what it is, because the maps mostly don't have a scale on them or measurements on them. So they're talking about widening it, and there's a diagram showing that it's probably going to be about 3/8 wider than it is at the moment, whatever the width is at the moment, which I don't know.
It's going
to be a bit wider, and like the other one, it's going to have a railing next to it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll just say it's going to be pretty similar to the other side, and then...
Well, it's not. It's going to be quite a bit narrower than the other side. And it seems to me, again, a missed opportunity to create a cycleway there, because the existing one has the problem of that narrow section, and it would be good to have a section that was wide enough for people to get through without having cyclists.
I must admit, if you made it known that the cycles would come from that side and walkers from the other side, that would be kind of an ideal solution, wouldn't it?
But it depends where you're walking to or from, or cycling to or from.
I think, yeah, it's true, but I mean, not a rule, just a...
Do you want to walk the length of Wienera Street to be walking the right way?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not a rule. It's just like a predominantly that's the way it'll go. So you know where there's going to be less cyclists if you're particularly frightened of cyclists.
So maybe that's something to talk about when we cycle around on Saturday.
Yeah, but obviously they're trying to fit that in a budget, and that's why it's narrower. So sewerage. So today from 3:30 to 7 at Wainuu Reserve Car Park, there's a drop-in session. They can go and check out the proposed spot on Wainui Reserve where they're going to dispose of the treated wastewater?
Well, except that the drop-in isn't at the point where they're doing that. It's down in the car park.
I presume they're going to walk over? Was it quite a way? How long?
Well, no, it's a drop-in, so, which seems to be an inappropriate term to use when you're talking about sewage, but... but yeah, as I understand it, it's just going to have maps and information, and you can chat to them, and they'll describe what they're planning to do.
Oh, I thought they were going to walk over. I hope they didn't make promises.
I'd be surprised if they do, because it's quite a distance to walk, and what must be across about 3 or 4 paddocks.
Okay, that makes sense that they're not going to walk.
They can maybe tell you how to get there and look at it.
Well, it is a public reserve. You just could go for a walk, couldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you been over there, John?
Oh, frequently. Yes.
Of course you have.
It's up near the Trig Point, so it's the gully before you, coming from the Norton car park. It's the gully before you get to the Trig Point.
Have I talked to you since we went to that public meeting?
Yes.
Here? We have. Oh, okay.
So, yeah, there was a fairly well-attended public meeting, about 40 or so people, plus about 10 people from council.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I counted 50. Yeah, there were a lot of people from council or water care. There are 3 councillors even, which is nice to see. But, yeah, it looks like we're going to have a solution, so long as the rest of the council's going to pay for it.
And so long as the technical report says it's feasible. Because they're doing 3 months of testing, which, as I asked at the meeting, is it going to work that you do testing during the summer to see how well it will cope during the winter? And they did give me an answer, and we did discuss it a couple of weeks ago. But.
And I think they kind of said what I'd said actually the day before when we had our interview, which was that you can take the dirt and put it in a lab and test its porosity and things like that.
Yep.
So, yeah. They will know. But one of the engineers said he'd gone down to the site while it was raining and clambered all over it and looked to see if he could find surface water flooding and things like that. And he seemed fairly confident.
My recollection is that when we've had heavy storms, it's sometimes washed out across the beach from that gully. So even with just the current storm water, it can wash out across the beach. And if that's got sewage water in it, I don't know whether... everyone's going to be too happy with it, but it is well-treated sewage water.
I mean, yeah, it's ridiculously clean. Like, it is insanely clean. Like they've said, like I asked an engineer a while ago, and he said, if I said, exactly how clean is it? And he said, if we chlorinated it, it would be classed as potable water. Like, it's that clear. I don't know. I'm not saying anyone should be doing this or wants to do it. We'll leave that to people in the big cities like London to reuse their water that way. But just making the point, that's how clean it is.
Yeah, Gabrielle did ask the question, why aren't you using it to grow crops? And their answer was that it was too clean. It didn't have the nutrients in it.
I didn't hear that one. Oh, that's funny. That's made it too clean.
Okay. So they did look at that option probably 2 or 3 years ago, and they brought out a whole book which had lots of possible crops that they could grow with it. But that's whilst they were still looking at the disposal over on Mangatawhiri Road. So.
Yeah. I mean, there's talk about sports fields up on Wainui Reserve, so they could be used to keep the grass growing up there, but that'll be someone else's problem to sort out. So anyway, so there's 3:30 to 7 o'clock today, Wainui Reserve Car Park. You go up to the roundabout, you turn right, go down that end, and there'll be a drop-in session there. And I guess if you want to, you can go overland and have a look at the gully after that. Moving on, the Waikato Regional Council Long-Term Plan Engagement.
We talked about earlier with Pamela's story.
Yes.
And the bus rates, yep.
Okay. Because they're changing the rating system. It used to be weird. It used to be the government, the regional council, and the district council all contributed funding to the buses. Uh-huh. Now they're trying to tidy it up a little bit and the funding.
Just have the government and the regional council.
Just the government and the regional council. So that's a bit better. do you think it'll be better?
My preference is to have the rate spread over everyone because we all benefit from people using buses because there's less traffic on the roads and there's less pollution and less crashes and things like that.
By everyone, you mean the government then?
Government and all ratepayers, yeah.
Well, it is all ratepayers.
Because, as I say, the option is to charge ratepayers who are moderately close to bus routes more than those who aren't. And that ignores the fact that 98% of people don't use buses anyway. So even if you're close to them, you're not getting any direct benefit.
So
you are getting the indirect benefit of 2% of people travelling on the bus. And
so I think we should forget about buses altogether, John. Is that what you're saying? No, I know that's not what you're saying.
No, I'm saying that we ought to have a lot more buses and that we could then reduce the amount that we're spending on building new roads or even maintaining roads or even having people who are victims of crashes in hospital and things like that. So, yeah, there's a whole load of advantages to using buses more, but especially if they're carrying bikes, which at the moment they're not, which is another issue.
I don't even want to talk about that. That's just a ridiculous one. And my point here is that with the change in the way they're rating, I guess the regional council is going to use that as an opportunity to review what they're doing, aren't they?
Yes.
Right, and I guess Pamela will be talking about that. Pamela Story, the chair of the regional council. There's a report coming from Extreme Zero Waste, verbal. I think it's about preparing for summer.
Okay.
Rubbish bins in summer. Don't look out the window, John. It's got nothing to do with the weather. Last summer, people were saying that the bins were overflowing, and Extreme said like they've got their guys out there going around, and they do the loop of the bins, and by the time they finish the loop, they're overflowing again. So I know, having talked to Extreme, they're going to hire some people to go and do some PR and education to try and encourage people to be sensible and not just keep stuffing things into bins till they overflow.
But are those people going to get through to the visitors who come for an hour or two and buy their fish and chips and then chuck the wrappers in the bins?
I guess that's the idea. Like, Extreme always goes for education. I'm sure there'll be some on the board who just want to like crack down on it and stop it. But
it seems to me the problem is that we have so many takeaways that produce so much rubbish, and effectively we're all subsidising those takeaways by paying more in our rates for Extreme to go and
we're subsidising people who don't live here to make rubbish.
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean,
and the businesses that provide them with takeaways. So it seems to me that there ought to be a more sustainable way of producing takeaway food than putting it in containers that you throw away.
Well, yeah, you'd bring your own container. That's the only sustainable way. Like you go around the various places in Raglan and you'll see things like, they look like cardboard containers you can put food in, but they've either got a plastic layer on them or they've got chemicals in the cardboard to stop them falling apart when they get damp.
Uh-huh.
So then none of them can just go into the recycling the normal way, and they certainly can't go into the compost, even though they look like they should. So, I mean, there were people making plates out of potatoes.
Yep. It's been around for a long time.
Yeah. I know the Environment Centre had them for a while. Incidentally, the Environment Centre has plates and cups and things that you can hire.
Yeah, that seems to be a more sensible way of doing it.
Yeah. But anyway, so Extreme's going to come along and talk about that.
There should be a hire system, and you hire your plate or you hire your mug or whatever, and when you bring it back, you get your money back.
We could, we could have a drop-off point at the edge of town, so all the tourists, when they're leaving, they can just collect all their plates and cups off them. Yeah. Okay, moving on. We're going to start having silly ideas soon. I think we're verging
on it
there.
It's a silly idea. It's a solution to what's currently quite expensive to employ people over Christmas holidays at high rates to go and pick up rubbish that doesn't really need to be rubbish.
Well, I mean, this came up at the community board meeting previously, and they talked about an example, one of the lakes in Rotorua Lakes District Council, where they just took all the rubbish bins away. And it was like, you bring rubbish, you take it home.
Uh-huh.
But that was a little more remote. I think it was at Lake Okereka.
It's been tried in quite a number of places and worked.
I feel like this would be a difficult one. But it may be like what they try in the end. I don't know. But at the moment, they're going to try educating people and talk about the community board meeting. And also, John, the next list, open spaces. What does this mean? Open spaces verbal. This is a cryptic, cryptic comment you've put.
Well, that's all that there is in the agenda. So, and I'm just going off the agenda. So presumably the open spaces team is coming along to talk about something, but we don't know what. Presumably they're going to mention the Greenslade Road Reserve Playground, which the agenda says they'll engage with local residents for feedback before the finalising of the conceptual design. So this has been talked about for ages, and we're still only looking at a conceptual design. So
I thought that's where we were about 6 months ago, but I do know that, yeah, a lot of the community members in that area wanted and what was described as a natural playground. So the staff have looked into that, and yep. I think that's what they're going to produce. So I guess they kind of force them to start again.
So maybe they're going to talk about the pahutukawas along Cliff Street, which are dying off because they've got too much traffic parking on them.
Open spaces team.
Well, one of the things they've done recently is to put some mulch on them in the hope that it will let the roots recover. But they were also talking about trying to stop vehicles parking on them. So maybe that's going to be part of a discussion. Don't know. I'm just guessing.
This is life's changing. It used to be you could just drive to Raglan and just park under the pahutukawa trees and it was lovely and the trees were fine. But now too many people.
Yeah, because in trees can withstand a certain amount of weight on their roots, but if you constantly have vehicles of a ton, 3 tons, whatever, driving over them, then as you can see down Cliff Street there, they're objecting. Half of one pahutukawa's died off pretty much.
Oh, has it? Is that bad?
Yeah.
Okay, so I haven't heard this issue before.
You can even we had a walk on the other side of the harbour last week, and you can even see it from the other side of the harbour. So, yeah.
Are you going to mention that in the open forum so that the open spaces team can answer it? Because you can't guarantee that's what they've turned up to talk about. I think it's more like preparation for summer.
They did the work, so they should know about it. But, yeah.
I think we should ask that question. Okay, so that's that. Manu Bay Breakwater. So where have we got with this? Because, well, where we've got is that the council staff seem to be saying there's no point going any further. We can't get agreement between the stakeholders, so we're just going to do nothing anymore. And we were wondering, the fishing club is famously litigious, and were they going to get their lawyers out? I have not heard anything about that happening.
I think they've got their chair of the community board out, and he says he's raised it with the chair of infrastructure, as advice from Parks and Reserves appears to do nothing and has not considered health and safety risks in this decision.
So there is the issue that there are boulders appearing randomly on the in the foot of the ramp, and it does look dangerous to me. lurking just below the waves as you bring your boat in. So it's not, certainly it's far from ideal. It might be, I mean, an option might be just to regularly go and sort them out, have a regular maintenance thing where they clean out the ramp all the way to the bottom. I don't know. But
if it was a bike rack on a bus, they'd just close it until they'd sorted out the safety.
Well, that could happen yet. Yeah, so John's vague reference to the chair of the community board, Dennis Amor, is a fisherman and part of the fishing club, I think. So it's of interest to him anyway. And I must admit, there is a safety issue there that kind of needs to be resolved, even if... because this is where we've talked with you about this before, but when I brought up the issue, would the fishing club go for their lawyers, you thought the legal advice would be that it's not worth pursuing?
Well, that's my guess as to why they're trying to do it this way and talk to the chair of the Infrastructure Committee on council.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, good point. But you also said because of the process the council had gone through that any lawyer would advise that they've really covered their bases.
Well, that's my view, yeah.
Yeah, I know. But you know more about this than I do, and you've had experience with the Environment Court and things like that. Is this an Environment Court issue? It's a resource consent.
It would be if it ever went to anything in the way of a design that encroached on the CMA, the coastal marine area.
Yeah, and having talked to people in the fishing club and people in the surf club, they're a long way from ever coming to agreement on how that area should be used, and it's not surprising because the ramp and the surf breaks don't go together. Yeah.
Yep. So the wharf is another area where I don't understand why they want to prohibit fishing. Presumably they're concerned that people fishing get in the way of other people using the wharf. But I've not heard the arguments on that.
That's interesting. But people have always fished on the wharf.
That's my attitude.
Like, what's the point of the wharf?
If you can't go and fish,
yeah, you can't go and fish on it. So that's interesting. That we should. Do you think this will be talked about? Because John, I know you make these lists of things that you think are important, and then they don't talk about some of them. So yes. Is this going to come up?
Well, it's been on the agenda for quite a while, and nobody's talked about it, so probably not.
I've been unaware of this, or I've been aware of it and forgotten.
But it's now got to the stage where they say signage has been ordered. And the appropriate pedestals are being acquired for installation pre-Christmas.
Well, people are going to ignore those, aren't they? Well, some people will, I'm pretty sure.
Well, people ignore most signs, yes.
Though people will be like, I fished here for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. They'll say, why am I stopping now?
Yep.
Won't they?
So I don't know that there's going to be any penalty for it. I don't know of any bylaw that says you can't fish there. So I would have thought they'd need a bylaw if they were going to enforce it.
Do you think it's over the whole wharf or just parts of it?
I don't know. As I say, I've not seen the argument for it, and I've not seen just where these things are.
Okay, fishing club, you should be
it's
on that one.
It's going to be pre-Christmas, it says. So
yeah.
It's not going to be long before this goes in, and we'll see what it is.
Okay. Do we need to mention the civil defence? There's the group's meeting early December. I guess that's all we need to say about that.
Yep.
Alcohol ban submissions. Are they still open? Oh, they're closing 8th of December. So
another 5 days to
another
go.
5 days. So they're extending. They're extending two things. I got confused about this. They're extending the period when we have a ban across most of a lot of Whangaroa.
Yeah, because it was just Christmas and New Year, and now it's extending into February.
Yeah, past Waitangi Day. So that's a huge part of the coastal area, all over the town, a lot of rural area as well. You need to see the map. So that's been extended, but also there's a permanent liquor ban, isn't there, in town, and
yes.
That's been extended. And it was just kind of the Bankart Street block, Bankart Street, Bow Street, tiny bit of Cliff Street, the Walk Bridge, and Papahua. But now it's going to be extended all the way down to the wharf, all the way around to the school. No drinking at school anymore, teachers. And sort of along Norrie Ave, down a bit of Bow Street, James Street, down Wallace Street.
Mm-hmm.
From memory. So two things happening, and people can say whether they like it or don't like it.
Yep.
And you will be able to drink in your house, we should add.
Yeah, so...
In fact, it's not private. They can't say on private property. My joke about the school is wrong. Is that, am I correct, John?
Yep. And as we said, you've got another 5 days to look at the council's website and go to the bit where it says say it up at the top and have your say on it.
We talk about Sound Spatial. What it's saying is that's just bureaucratic signing off of things happening.
Yep. But again, I'm not aware that anyone's been consulted on what happened, but it was thought to go pretty well last year, so presumably they're hoping the same's going to happen this year, and it's not going to be a controversial thing in future.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll leave that at that. CCTV, so the last thing we heard was that, because they were trying to get Hamilton City Council to be the, to hook our cameras into Hamilton City Council's monitoring centre.
That proved too expensive, they're saying the next steps will be to complete a full detailed design. So we're back to the drawing board on this one.
Yeah, so it's probably not surprising. Hamilton City Council is a very debt-ridden council, so they're probably like trying to claw back any money where they can.
But that's probably counterproductive if they're going to install one anyway, and they could have got some money from Waikato, and now Waikato's going it alone.
Yeah, who knows? Actually, speaking of things like that, I had been the Three Waters sewage solution that the government's telling the councils to sort out. I'd been wondering what was going on. Like, it looked like Hamilton City Council decided they just didn't want to play with the other councils and wanted to control their own one. But I talked at the wastewater meeting. I talked to one of the Waikato District Council engineers. He said, no, it wasn't like that. It was just that they were wanting to move a lot faster than a lot of the other councils. And so, which is why they've let Waikato District come in. So that's just a little thing that I'd been ranting about. Well, not ranting, but wondering about. Was it just the councils couldn't get along? But I don't think that was the issue.
Actually, I should have mentioned whilst I was talking about the policy committee that's happening this morning that another thing on their agenda is a list of fast-track things. And there's a fast-track projects team being set up to deal with those things which are probably going to go fast track. The legislation's still got to finish going through Parliament yet. But
so the council tried to get some stuff on the fast track program as well?
Including the Raglan sewage scheme, yes.
So what does the fast track give you? It just gives you, it just cuts red tape, does it?
Well, it means it wouldn't have to go to a resource consent hearing.
Okay.
Which, if they've done their PR properly, which was the objective of involving people, they wouldn't have to do anyway, because everyone would just say, oh, that's a great idea, yeah, and we won't object to it.
So they must, is that like a two-stage thing, find out if there's objections and then deal with them in the second stage?
Yeah, because in the what they've been concerned about all along is that it goes to a protracted hearing, resource consent hearing, and last time it took several years and an awful lot of money. I can't remember exactly how much money, but it was a significant part of the cost of what we've got now. So all along they'd been trying to avoid that. But there was a period a few months ago when they went fairly quiet on it and missed a meeting or two. And I'm just wondering whether they were hoping then it would just go fast track and they wouldn't have to bother with involving the public.
Right, okay, but not happening.
So I thought that was an interesting insight into what they would have done if they could have done.
Yeah, it would save them some money, wouldn't it? Yeah. Now, what else are we going to talk about, John? Adaptive management, Papahua erosion.
Yeah, well, this has been on the agenda quite a bit, but it's on the agenda again. So another discussion on just how much they are going to let the sea erode and how much they're going to try and stop it. So, and there's obviously views on both sides, and I'm guessing that those are going to get aired again.
I get frustrated with this discussion. I see people on the notice board saying, oh, we've got to build a wall. And I've tried to put information out there. You build a wall, it actually it doesn't solve problems. What we know from the history of this area is that the sand will build up and it'll come away over a period of decades. It goes back and forth. It's very normal. And it's interesting because there's a bit at the moment near the runway on the seaward side where it has been eroded quite dramatically, but either side of that you can see that that's actually the sand is building up, so it's just a sign of what happens. But the issue where we do need to do something is over on the other side, between the boat ramp and the walk bridge, where because we got rid of the old walk bridge, which effectively created a groin out into the water, we're now seeing sand eaten away. And because the groin position has effectively moved back 24 metres, we could potentially have 24 metres of erosion over the next few decades. And so the only I can't see any other solution except to put a groin in. And I've talked to Shaw Mead about this, and his opinion is there should be a groin in. Why aren't we doing it? I don't know.
Because I've got the impression in the last few months that it's reduced and that it's silting up again. Because the sand comes and goes. Because I was surprised when we went out to Tikaha Point, just to the north, up the coast there, just how much sand there was on the point there.
Where's Tikaha Point?
Mussel Rock.
Where's Mussel Rock?
About 3 kilometres north of the entrance to the harbour.
Okay.
Usually that's just a rocky headland, but at the moment it's quite a sandy headland.
Right.
It shows the extent to which sand does move around. And
yeah,
I think many of us know Elephant Rock out along the beach.
Is it there at the moment?
It's not. It's there somewhere.
It's under the sand. That's right, you can't even see it, whereas other times it's over your head. Yeah, when you really start to pay attention, it just is moving all the time. Constant moving. So, yeah, aside from the situation on this side, where we've created the problem by removing, or created change by removing a groin, which presumably created change when it was there as well. Mm-hmm. But like at this point in time, it's threatening parking infrastructure and sports fields and things potentially, if it got really bad. So it might be worth investing in a new groin. But I'm not the expert, so let's see where that goes. Greenside Road Playground. No, we talked about that, John. Why did we talk about that out of order?
Because we were talking about open spaces, and it's part of the open spaces team, and we were speculating on what they were coming along to talk about.
Okay, and there's going to be some reports from the council and board members. And what else do you want to talk about, John? What do you got?
Well, the campground, there's a report that stormwater work's still going on, so I don't know whether anyone's going to grumble at how long it's going on. It surprised me how long it's taking.
They dug a very deep hole.
Okay.
like 8 or 10 metres down.
Oh, you've looked into it. I've not.
No, I've not looked. I couldn't get close. But it's supposed to be ready by Christmas. So, and talking to Dennis Amore last week, he just seemed to think it was going to be. So that's good. Are we moving on to?
Well, I was mentioning fast track, and I was interested to see that although the government rejected the Raglan scheme for fast track, they did accept the Huntly sewage scheme for fast track. So I don't know whether they thought that was going to be less controversial and they could put that in fast track without anyone grumbling.
Possible. Would you grumble if a sewage scheme was put in fast track?
Probably, yes. Well, I think I'd grumble if most things were fast-tracked because there's no guarantee that they're going to be looked at properly.
Yeah.
And this is a concern that people have got about the seabed mining. But it's been rejected several times and now they're putting it in fast-track, and that might just mean that they don't bother looking at any of the drawbacks. They'll just take it at face value what Trans-Tasman Resources claims is the case.
The government's made it clear several times that they don't give a stuff about, some of their representatives don't give a stuff about the science when they talk about...
Freddie the Frog.
is he one of the MPs? Is he the Minister of Transport now? They've made it clear that they're not interested in the evidence to do with road safety, and they're going to take away some of the areas where we were being asked to slow down at the moment.
Yeah, well, Waikato District is still going ahead with schemes to reduce speed limits, which I find interesting. They're extending slightly the speed limit in Tumata, the 40 kilometre an hour speed limit through there.
Yeah. So anyway, if they're like, we don't like the evidence, so we're just not going to follow it. They bring that attitude to the fast track. Who knows? They might tick everything off, or they might have one thing in there that they reject to show that they're rejecting things, and hopefully that's why they brought the seabed mining in. To show that they could be tough, bring in something that they were never ever going to accept. I'm guessing, but that would be a nice outcome. Okay.
So this is just to show that they can reject things, you think?
Yeah, well...
It's an interesting theory.
Politicians know about PR and they know about perception. So, you know, that actually makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? You know it makes sense, John.
Yes.
You know it.
Because apparently there are 10 fast-track schemes within Waikato District for things like coal mining and for housing extensions and things like that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Are we running out of things? We've got more things.
There was a meeting of the Transport Committee on Regional Council last week. I thought it was interesting that they were looking at the problem, as we were discussing earlier, of how to cope with financing the buses when the government's cutting the money available for it.
Yes.
And requiring them to raise bus fares. But as I also said, they put bus fares up by 20% and the number of people using the buses went up. So I think they may be rethinking that. So it'd be interesting to see what Pamela's got to say tomorrow afternoon.
Okay.
About that issue.
That's Pamela Story, the chair of the Regional Council, which is different to the District Council, but it has the same name, Waikato Regional, Waikato District.
Yep.
Is that it, John? You got more? Wastewater treatment plant, no. Stormwater?
No, I think we've pretty much covered everything I can think of. I'll probably realise when I leave that I've missed some vital things out.
Did you observe the Waters Governance Board Zoom meeting?
No, I didn't.
Were they supposed to be talking about when they were going to have the stakeholder meeting? It's a stormwater one, isn't it?
The Waters Governance Board was talking about a whole load of things. Yeah, they were saying that there was going to be community engagement with Tānata Whenua and key stakeholder liaison group as required under the resource consent, which they seem to have dug up again. It's been identified as an area for improvement, meaning that they haven't got round to it since June. That one they seem to have on their agenda. Presumably they decided something and we'll be hearing when they've done their sampling program, which they're doing to check how much pollution is getting into the stormwater. So it'd be good to have a meeting and see the figures on that. So that's presumably going to be in February sometime.
Okay.
Because everything in council closes down pretty much from a week or two's time through till February.
It's not like the staff aren't there, like they're not having six-week holidays.
Well, probably some of them are, but they're probably also catching up.
Yeah, that's what I do. The last couple of years, I'm back at work, but I'm not on the air.
And they're also going to present a water demand management plan in February as well. Another thing that we noticed walking over there on the north side of the harbour was that they had almost finished the water bore drilling over at Tiako South. So that started on the 21st of October and was supposed to be for 2 weeks, but as I say, it was still going on last week. So
is that for community water supply?
Yeah, there's very limited water supply over there. It only supplies a few houses.
I'm surprised there's any. I just thought they'd be on rainwater.
Yeah, well, I think that surprises everyone. But I think when that subdivision was created, they agreed with the council at that time that there was going to be a water supply. There was a problem with the bore that they had previously. So they've put in a new bore, and that's hopefully will sort out that problem. But it's going to be a fairly expensive solution to it, I think.
Okay. Alrighty. We've reached the end of the time for the show, John. So let's just remind people, 3:30 to 7 o'clock today, there's a drop-in session for the proposed wastewater treatment plant and disposal system at Wainui Reserve. Head up to the roundabout, turn right, go down the end there, and maybe afterwards you go for a walk across the fields to see the gully where they're going to dispose of it.
Where the toilets are in the car park. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Don't forget, there's also going to be, or please remember, Treaty Principles Bill submission writing workshop this Sunday in the community house basement from 10 to 12. And there will be more later if you can't make that one.
And we'll be handing out leaflets at the Creative Market on Sunday morning as well.
About the same thing?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. And is that all, John? The Community Board meeting, 1:30 Wednesday.
Yep.
Open forum.
Yeah. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, or if you're listening at 8 in the morning, this afternoon. Yeah. Thanks for coming in, John.